నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్యం నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జాయం ముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికీ కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం చాప్టర్ 11 క్యాంటో 11 చాప్టర్ 12 వర్స్ నంబర్ 20. అయం హి జీవం జీవ త్రివృద్ అబ్జయోనిర్ అవ్యక్త ఏకో వయసాస్ అద్యః విశ్లిష్ట శక్తిర్ బహుదేవ భాతి బీజాని యోనిం ప్రతిపద్య యద్వత్. అయం హి జీవ త్రివృద్బ్జయోనిర్ అవ్యక్త ఏకో వయసాస్ అద్యః విశ్లిష్ట శక్తిర్ బహుదేవ భాతి బీజాని యోనిం ప్రతిపద్య యద్వత్. అయం హి జీవస్ త్రివృద్బ్జ యోనిర్ అవ్యక్త ఏకో వయసాస్ అద్యః విశ్లిష్ట శక్తిర్ బహుదేవ భాతి బీజాని యోనిం ప్రతిపద్య యద్వత్. మాతాజీస్ word to word meaning. I am this, he certainly, jivaha, the supreme living entity who gives life to others, trivrit, containing the three modes of material nature, abja, of the universal lotus flower, yonihi, the source, avyaktaha, unmanifest, ekaha, alone, vayasa, in course of time, saha, he, adyaha, eternal, vishlishta, divided, shaktihi, potencies, bahudha, in many divisions, eva, like, bhati, he appears, bijani, seeds, yonim, in an agricultural field, pratipadya, falling, yatvat, just like. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When many seeds are placed in an agricultural field, innumerable manifestations of trees, bushes, vegetables and so on will arise from a single source, the soil. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives life to all and is eternal, originally exists beyond the scope of the cosmic manifestation. In the course of time, however, the Lord, who is the resting place of the three modes of nature, and the source of the universal lotus flower, in which the cosmic manifestation takes place, divides his material potencies and thus appears to be manifest in innumerable forms, although he is one. Purport. Srila Veera Raghava Acharya comments that one may question as to whom the cosmic manifestation, consisting of demigods, men, animals, plants, planets, space, etc., actually belongs. Lord Krishna now eradicates any doubt about the source of the cosmic manifestation. The word trivrit indicates that the three modes of nature are not independent but are under superior control. The suffix vrit means the vartanam or existence of the three modes of material nature within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Analyzing the term abjayoni, up indicates water and ja indicates birth. Thus, abja means the complex material universe which sprouts from Garbhodak Shai Vishnu, who lies in the Garbhodak ocean. Yoni or source indicates the personality of Godhead. And thus, abjayoni means that the Lord is the source of all cosmic manifestations. Indeed, all creation takes place within the Lord. Since the three modes of material nature are under the superior control of the Lord, material objects helplessly undergo creation and annihilation within the universal shell by the will of the Lord. The term avyakta indicates the Lord's subtle spiritual form, which exists alone beyond the material creation. The Lord's original form, being spiritual, does not undergo birth, transformation or death. It is eternal. In the course of time, the Lord's material potencies are divided and manifest as bodies, bodily paraphernalia, sense objects, bodily expansions, false ego and false proprietorship. Thus, the Lord expands his conscious living potency called Jiva Shakti, which is manifest in innumerable material forms such as those of men, demigods, animals and so on. From the example of the seeds sown in an agricultural field, we can understand that innumerable manifestations may arise from a single source. Similarly, although the Lord is one, he becomes manifest in innumerable forms through the expansions of his different potencies. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam yena Bhutale Sayam Rupah Kada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruh Shriyuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rupyascha Kripa Sindhupya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So this is quite a transition from what was happening yesterday, from discussing the most elevated subject matter on Radha Ashtami, the sweet pastimes, the sweetness that prevailed, was permeating the atmosphere yesterday. And now today we are talking about the three modes. The material energy, so from spiritual energy to the material energy. So very technical subject matter, but still, because it is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, although the three modes are material, the creation is material, but because it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, it is important. And we understand it from the fact that Shukadeva Goswami is almost ending. It is the seventh day mostly, when he is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. And many pastimes of Krishna described in the 10th canto, they are not described in detail. Details we find in the literatures by the Goswamis, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Because Shukdev Goswami was choosing the most important episodes, the most important philosophy, the message to speak to Parikshit Maharaj. And so that he could speak even this thing which is describing in the 11th canto, he had to hurry up, and he skipped many of the details of 10th canto also. So this must be very important. And secondly, because it is being spoken by Krishna to one of his greatest devotees, Uddhavji. So the conversation between the devotee and the Lord. And that is the that is naturally the subject matter for discussion. So everything in Bhagavatam is most auspicious, and each word that is there in the Bhagavatam is representing Krishna. So everything becomes auspicious wherever Krishna is present. Therefore, whenever any Purohit, a priest, begins the worship, this particular mantra is chanted: Om Pavitra Pavitro Vasarva Vastam Gatopiva Yahas Maret Pundari Kaksham Sabahya Bhyantara Shuchihi. That whether pure or impure or having passed through all situations in life, one quickly becomes cleansed, both within and without, as soon as one remembers the lotus-eyed Lord, and that is Sri Krishna. And this is the effect of Krishna's presence in anyone's life. Everyone who died on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it is described, they attained liberation. Now they did not come, even the enemy soldiers, they did not come looking for liberation. They did not even have good intentions. They were fighting from adharma, adharmic side. Still, they got liberated, and the reason given is because of Krishna's presence on the battlefield. And this is the effect of Krishna's presence. Knowingly, unknowingly, if somebody has Krishna in his life, everything auspicious happens. So this is Krishna's nature, even he can't help it. Even when he tries to punish somebody or kill somebody, the person ends up getting liberation. So therefore, the most auspicious thing, Bhagavatam again and again explains, is remembering Krishna, chanting his holy names, essentially giving him a place in our life. And then Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, even a little connection to him on this path, whichever way, will save us from the greatest fear in life. And one of the 64 qualities of Krishna is grateful. For whatever little we do for Krishna, he remembers it forever. He never forgets. So, like there, in 2008 to 2009, I used to serve in this guest reception department. And one person used to come every week or sometimes every few days. Old man, and sometimes his son would accompany him, sometimes his staff would accompany him. He couldn't walk properly without any support, and he was kind of not stable mentally also. He didn't know what he was doing, but something was very well aware of. So he would always get, as soon as he would enter, he would have two fruits in his hands. One for Gopinath, one for Sankirtan Prabhu. And as soon as he would enter, he would just ask, Sankirtan Dasji, Sankirtan Dasji kahan hai, Sankirtan Dasji kahan hai. And then he was so attached to Prabhuji. And he would sit next to us. He would take out the mala around his neck, which he was wearing around his neck. And he would just chant like this, not even one single bead. Something he would... We couldn't even hear what he was chanting, but he was doing his bit. And then he would leave. So one, I think in 2010 or 11, one day, I was near the DT room and Sankirtan Prabhu came. It was the day of Narsingh Chaturdashi. And he came and asked, do you have any extra garland today? Because I'm going to somebody's... somebody has left his body, so I need to carry a garland. So then I told Prabhuji I don't have, but then I realized I was taking care of the flower seva at that time. So then I realized that day, for the first time in so many years, I thought since devotees will be coming in the evening and Narsingh Dev's diorama is here since morning, so we have put one garland on him. So since the devotees are coming in the evening, so let's make two garlands today and we'll put a fresh one in the evening on the Lord. That I remember. So I said, oh, Prabhuji, wait, today we have made two garlands. So I'll give you one garland, and in the evening I'll put another one on Lord Narsingadev. And Prabhuji took the garland, he was happy. And then after a few days, I get a message from Prabhuji that he's not around, but there is a prayer meet at this particular person's house, which I didn't know. And you go and do some kirtan if you can. So I agreed, I went, did the kirtan. When I went, I saw the picture, it was the same old man who had left his body. And then I did the kirtan, and after an hour or so, then his son and daughter-in-law started talking to me. And without even asking, they started telling many things. And then one thing they said, they were talking about how he was so attached to Sankirtan Prabhu that even if it was Sunday, there was no driver at home, he would make sure that he got some fruits which he could send to Sankirtan Prabhu, even if it was a holiday. And then they revealed another shocking fact. Not shocking, but it was not getting the right word, but something which was astonishing. They said, you know, he used to go to temple every day, but every day before he went up to the temple hall, in your courtyard there is a murti of half man and half lion, Narsingadev, Dairoma. They didn't know what is Dairoma, but they said that murti of Narsingadev, he would stand there in front of him, and for 5 minutes at least he would just keep speaking something, he would pray, he would continue praying. And then he would go up to the temple and he would sit for some time. Then everything started getting connected. So even though sometimes someone might feel these are Dairoma, these are deities, but then I realized they are the same. Because he was praying to that Lord Narsingadev down in the courtyard. So when that person left the body, he had developed a relationship with the Lord. That same deity's garland went to him the last moment. And another astonishing thing was, he passed away on Narsingh Chaturdashi, and at around the same time, 12 noon. So even a little connection with Krishna makes everything so auspicious. And the son was explaining, it was such a peaceful departure. He was sitting suddenly on his knees and he just fell backwards and left his body very peacefully. So little connection with Krishna can save us from the greatest dangers, greatest fear in life. Therefore, I think Uddhavji is the one who explains that, where is that, who is that foolish person who will not take shelter of somebody who is as merciful as Krishna, who gave the position of a mother to somebody who came to kill him, that is Putna. So whichever way, as His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj once mentioned, whichever way you remember Krishna, you get purified. And therefore, even the demons get liberated. And Narad Muni, he is so overwhelmed seeing this nature of Krishna, that he, in his ecstasy of love, he starts glorifying the demons. How fortunate are the demons? He says, I wish I could have the same absorption as the demons, as they have for Krishna. So this is the key, that somehow or the other, if we just maintain that connection with Krishna, everything auspicious will take place. Nothing inauspicious can happen in a person's life who is connected to Krishna, either through his name, his form, his katha, kirtan, devotees, temple, prasad, whichever way. So therefore, Krishna's presence is necessary in life. Now, Vedanta Sutra explains Janmadi Asyataha. Many times people wonder, what is the source of this creation? And they can't figure out, and they start guessing. And most of the scientific theories are like that. At max, what science can do is actually just find out what is already existing, or prove what has already been proved in these scriptures. That's the maximum extent they can go to. But here the scriptures explain, as Srila Prabhupada used to say, why do you need to do research? It is already done. We just need to teach it, and then you are the greatest scientist. And Prabhupada in a conversation mentions, what is a scientist actually? Who is a scientist? Scientist is somebody who knows things as they are. And that is already being described in the scriptures, which are coming from the Creator Himself. So we just need to teach it to others, and then we are also scientists. And this purport, Krishna Himself gives the analogy that He is the source of everything. Just like soil, the single source, can be the cause of manifestation of bushes, flowers, crops, many different manifestations. So it is Krishna who then expands into many, spiritual energy, material energy. So He is at the top, Eko Vaisa, and then He expands into Balaram. And it is Balaram then who finally, then eventually takes over everything. Krishna doesn't personally get involved. Balaram expands into quadruple expansion, Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Then comes Narayana. Then another quadruple expansion, Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Then from Sankarsana comes Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu creates the universes. Again expands, enters each of the universes. And lies down at the bottom as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. From his navel, Brahma comes out, and the Brahma creates all the living entities as the secondary creator. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu then again expands as Super Soul and the Shirodakshaya Vishnu, who is the maintainer of that particular universe. So in unlimited forms, Krishna has expanded, but separated material energy, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and ego, they're Krishna's energy, but bhinna prakriti, separated. So we cannot say they are also Krishna. They are coming from Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna, but everything is not Krishna. And everything doesn't lead to Krishna. Sometimes people think, whichever deity you worship, whatever you do, you achieve the same result. But even in this material world, that doesn't happen. If you sit in a flight going to Delhi and we want to go to Bangalore, we'll end up landing in Bangalore rather than in Delhi. Even in this world, by serving the different persons, we don't get the same results. Suppose somebody is cooking in a dhaba, and then somebody is cooking in the house of Mr. Bill Gates. Externally, the activity is the same, but the result is totally different because they are serving different personalities. Similarly, it's not that by worshipping anyone, you get the same result. By worshipping Krishna, you get a different result. Therefore, Krishna explains in the Gita, whoever worships the demigods goes to them, whoever worships the ghosts go to them, whoever worships the ancestors goes to them, whoever worships me comes to me. As simple as that. And Krishna expands into many expansions just to reciprocate different relationships. Brihat Bhagavatamrita explains, just like Krishna expands into Vishnu in Vaikuntha, Radharani expands into Lakshmi, and Shridham expands into Garuda. So he becomes Garuda. They're very intimately connected. So if Krishna could expand into so many, unlimited forms, so it's not difficult for Krishna to expand into a few billions when the Ras Leela is taking place, or expanding himself into a few thousands at Dwarka when he expands into 16,108 forms just to be with each and every queen in her palace, just to satisfy everyone's needs. So it is only God who can satisfy everyone. If we try to satisfy everyone, we'll end up having some trouble in life. And only Krishna. So when we try to satisfy everyone, we are trying to take Krishna's position. And that's like a competition to Krishna. It is impossible. So we have to be realistic. The most unrealistic expectation to have is that we can please everyone. Impossible. Our intentions should be pure and actions should be pure. If those both the boxes are ticked, then we should be happy, because that is the only thing within our control. We can't take Krishna's position. Only he can do it. In the Ras Leela, he's dancing and each gopi knows Krishna is right next to me. When he's sitting on the banks of Jamuna to take lunch, now he and Balaram, they sit in the middle and other cowherd boys sit in concentric circles. And each cowherd boy feels, he can actually see that Krishna is looking at him only. And that's how he's satisfied. And even those boys who are sitting at the back, they are also feeling that Krishna is looking at them only. That's how Krishna satisfies everyone. Similarly, in Dwarka, he is present with everyone all the time. Or we also find the example of Bahulashva and Shrutadeva. One is a Brahman and one is a king. And both invited Krishna to their homes for bhoga, not prasad. So and for Krishna it wasn't difficult. He just expanded himself into two forms and he satisfied both. We can't do that. So we should be humble enough to accept our limitations and do whatever best we can. So this is Krishna's inconceivable nature. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya, he resolved everything. Achintya Bheda Veda. Inconceivable potency Krishna has. Achintya, Achintya Shakti. So, nobody can ever understand how this creation is working. How the planets are moving in their orbit. Sun and the moon, they are rising. Krishna is performing a magic every day. We see some magician performing some tricks on the stage and he makes some things disappear and we become so impressed. But here Krishna is making the sun and the moon disappear every day and people are not impressed. He's making the seasons appear and disappear again and again, but nobody is impressed. Somebody makes a machine and is glorified, but Prabhupada mentions, look at Krishna's inconceivable potency, that he has made machines and then he is aloof, and those machines are on their own, they are empowered to keep producing duplicate forms, the male and the female. He doesn't get involved. Ek bar create kar diya, then he is just aloof from the creation. So very simply Prabhupada puts it across. So nobody can understand Krishna. If we try to understand, we can just follow Lord Brahma, our Sampradaya Acharya. He tells Krishna, I've understood you. And Krishna asked, what have you understood? And he says, I've understood that you cannot be understood. We can just follow in Krishna's footsteps. Because Krishna, when he wants to hide something from us, he cannot be known unless he reveals himself, and he cannot be, we cannot force him to reveal himself. He is adhokshaja, beyond the material senses. What to speak of us or Brahma? Even someone as close to Krishna as Balaram cannot know what is Krishna doing, why Krishna is acting in a particular manner. And ultimately it is Krishna's will that reigns supreme. Like Balaram wanted Subhadra to marry Shishupal. Duryodhan. Oh. And Krishna wanted Arjuna to marry Subhadra. So ultimately, it was Krishna's will. Balaram wanted to support Duryodhana and wanted him to see victorious, but Krishna wanted Bhima to be victorious. And that's what happened. In the Brahma Vimohan Leela, the classic pastime, Brahma comes to test Krishna. And he steals away all his cowherd boys, boyfriends, and also the calves. And Krishna immediately understands this is Brahma. So he expands into as many calves and cowherd boys as were there. And he walks back happily home. And this Leela, for Brahma, it is just one moment. Because Prabhupada writes that he understood that he was playing with fire. So he comes back after one moment, but by that time 1 year had passed on this earthly planet. And when Brahma came back, he saw, Krishna, the cowherd boys, the cows are still playing. Then he got bewildered. His head started spinning. He went back. He looked for the boys and the cows where he had hid them. And he sees all of them are sleeping in mystic slumber. Then he comes back again. He sees they are still playing. So then he gets bewildered. And then he's humbled. And as soon as he develops that consciousness of humility, immediately he sees all those calves and the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna turning into Vishnu forms and then merging into Krishna's form. Then he understood who Krishna is. So this Leela, where Krishna became the cowherd boys and the calves, it was going on for 1 year. The Brajavasis couldn't recognize that it was Krishna only they were dealing with as their own children. The cows could not recognize. Although they felt their love for their children increase million times, just like the same love that they felt for Krishna. So Vrindavan is a place where everyone loves Krishna more than their own children. This is the only place. And Krishna and Balaram, and they were standing near Govardhan Hill, and suddenly Balaram saw that the cows looked at their calves and they started running full speed towards the calves. And Balaram was bewildered for a moment. And he thought, and he realized something mystical is happening. I've never seen cows running towards their calves with so much eagerness. Then he asked Krishna, what is going on? Then Krishna revealed the entire incident about how Brahma stealing the cows, how he had only expanded into all these. So if Krishna doesn't want to reveal, even Balaram wouldn't come to know, although in the Leela he is acting as the elder brother. So if Balaram cannot understand Krishna, how can the people of this world understand Krishna? Even Brahma, Shiva, even Balaram, other expansions, Mahavishnu, they are unable to understand Krishna. So how can we ever understand? He can only be understood when he reveals himself. Same in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur writes in Chaitanya Bhagavat that because Lord Chaitanya was to appear, so many of Lord Chaitanya's associates took birth in many different parts of Bengal, Gaudadesh. And when Lord Chaitanya made his appearance, by his inspiration, all of them somehow or the other made their residences in Navadvip, Mayapur. They were inspired by the Lord. So they were interacting with each other even after Lord Chaitanya manifested his form of a devotee. He started the Sankirtan movement. They were dancing with him every night in Sankirtan. Every day, every night they were with him. And they were associating with each other closely. Still, none of the devotees knew about each other's identity. None of them knew who is who. It was only during Mahaprakash Leela, when Lord Chaitanya revealed each one's identity, that they came to know. Oh, he's a special personality. He's Brahma, he's Prahlad, he's Hanuman. He's a cowherd boy, Sridhar. So this is Krishna's inconceivable potency. And Om Purnamadah Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaye Purnameva Avashishyate. Although so many different complete units emanate from Krishna, still he remains the complete whole. That is inconceivable. Generally in this world, if somebody has 1,000 rupees, if he gives away 500 rupees, he's left with 500. But when Krishna gives 1,000, he still has 1,000. Like 2 plus 2 is 4, 2 minus 2 is 0. But in Krishna's realm, 2 plus 2 is 4 and 2 minus 2 is also 4. It can be 10 also. He can do the inconceivable. He can make the possible, impossible possible. There is nothing impossible for Krishna. And this one understanding of this aspect of Krishna, that nothing is impossible for Krishna, keeps the devotees free from anxiety. Why people go into depression? Because they think they are the doers. And when they can do things, they think they are the doers. When they cannot do things, then they think they cannot do it. So because they cannot do it, it can't happen only. So therefore they become depressed. But the devotees have the understanding. All right, Krishna is the doer. It may be impossible for me, but nothing is impossible for him. So we have understanding of that aspect. So nothing is impossible for a devotee. Because devotees understand Krishna can make the impossible possible, so we just need to put in our effort, just put in that endeavor, and nothing impossible for him. If we have the desire and if we work hard, then Krishna will make it possible, because he is the only person who can even change the destiny. When he enters the scene, even the destiny changes. So many demons who were destined to suffer had heavy karma on their heads. But because Krishna showered his mercy on them, knowingly, unknowingly, by embracing them, sometimes killing them, mostly killing them, they attained salvation, they attained liberation. So essentially, as this verse explains, Krishna himself is explaining, he is the source of everything. And just like the atheists cannot understand how this whole creation is running, how Krishna could, one person could be the source of everything. Similarly, atheists, the theists, the believers, can also not understand how can the atheist not believe. There is so much evidence. So for a person, if he ever wants to believe in God, there is enough evidence. But if somebody is close, narrow-minded, there is no hope. So whenever you preach to people, so there is a difference. People say different things. There is a difference between saying, I don't understand and I don't know. There is a difference between saying, I don't accept and I don't understand. So if a person says, I don't accept, there is no hope. But if he says, I don't understand, there is all the hope. Because then he can be made to understand. That means he is open. One is a statement of humility, one is a statement of arrogance. But this one quality, if people can develop, all right, I may not understand because I have limitations, humility. And then Krishna starts revealing himself. Because then humility will lead to inquiry, humility and submission leads to inquiry, then the knowledge is internalized, then it is applied, and gradually as a person engages in devotional service, Krishna starts revealing himself. So therefore, humility is the key. And I'll end with this another example, how even Brahma, the first living being of the universe, the created being, unless he pleased Krishna, he could not figure out the purpose of life and he could not figure out the origin. He went down the lotus flower which was sprouting from the lotus navel of Garbhodakshay Vishnu, but he could not see Lord Vishnu. But when he followed the Lord's instructions, the Lord was pleased. And then at the same place where he couldn't see anyone before, he could see Garbhodakshay Vishnu lying down. So Krishna revealed, because he had pleased Krishna. So this is the key, that once we please Krishna, then he starts revealing. And he is pleased when we do some service to him. So by tapasya, by charity, by austerities, or even His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj once mentioned, even by chanting Hare Krishna, it's not a guarantee that Krishna will reveal himself. He is to be pleased. So all these practices where we chant, hear, prasad, associates, worship the deity, they are a way to show Krishna that we are really serious about pleasing him. And when he is pleased, he sends his mercy, and that mercy actually purifies our heart. And then we can see things as they are. So therefore, this one quality Maharaj was mentioning to one devotee once, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, that even if somebody is very sinful, not able to follow all the rules and regulations in scripture, he's not able to practice it sincerely because of whatever conditionings, but if he has that one quality, humility, he will still achieve Krishna's greatest mercy. Like in Vrindavan once, a lady came to Radha Damodar Mandir and she is crying profusely and she is telling Krishna to Damodarji that Krishna, as she is crying, bhakti nahi, bhakti karne ki shakti bhi nahi. I have no bhakti, at the same time I have no strength also to perform bhakti. And she is crying. So this is what is required. Therefore, Gaur Govind Maharaj, once he was asked in Bhubaneswar when he opened a temple, he said, I have opened a crying school for Krishna, where you should just come and cry for Krishna, Krishna's mercy. Because unless Krishna showers his mercy on somebody, a person can never ever become a devotee. If we think our lectures, kirtans make people devotees, then why is it that everybody doesn't become a devotee? Who has the Lord's mercy? So we can just pray to Krishna, and that's the best way to preach. We just pray to Krishna that please shower your mercy on this person, because then only he will understand you, then only he will accept your service. And when Krishna showers his grace, then it's very easy, a smooth ride for everyone. So humility is the key, prayers are the key. And somehow or the other, if we can just maintain our connection through whichever way, hearing, chanting, remembering prayers, prasad, deities, devotees, then our whole life will become and remain auspicious. Not just this lifetime, but every lifetime if we have to come back. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.